Dear God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have a plan of salvation, a plan of rescue for people like us who, by nature of our birth, rebel against you. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Speak to us about that rescue plan and draw us to yourself. Draw us to the Lord Jesus, that we may lay hold of him afresh, or maybe lay hold of him for the first time as our Passover. We pray in his name. Amen. As I said, tonight we'll be looking further in the idea of knowing Jesus, and we'll look at knowing Jesus as our Passover. Of course, this time of year, a lot of people around us are focusing very much on events surrounding the time Jesus was born. What we'll be looking at tonight is much more tied up with what was happening as Jesus died. So, a bit of a reversal of the usual seasonal thing, but maybe that'll actually help us to focus on what the Bible tells us. Where do we get this idea that Jesus is our Passover? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote a couple of letters to his Christian friends in the city of Corinth. In the first letter, 1 Corinthians, in chapter 5, in verse 6, he's talking to them about how it's not a good thing for Christians to be boasting about doing things that are wrong. Shouldn't be boasting about doing things that are wrong. And he goes on and he says, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" So he says to them, Therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So there's the bit of the Bible that tells us that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now, I don't know about you, but the meaning of what Paul is telling his Christian friends in Corinth doesn't exactly jump off the page and grab you by the throat and tell you what's going on. There's a bit to unpack and maybe understand there. I think I did this illustration once before. You know, when two people are talking to each other, the first one might say something like, "The cat sat on the mat." And ideally, if communication's happening properly, the person they're talking to gets the idea, gets the picture. Okay, cat sat on the mat. Yep, good. Okay, I understand. So how about if he says stuff about leaven or being leavened or being unleavened, talks about lumps or bread or feasts or Passover? What should be going on in the other person's head? Ideally, they shouldn't be going, "Huh?" They should be going, "Exodus chapter 12. That's what they should be thinking. Exodus chapter 12. That's where Paul got all that stuff from. And I expect that when Paul's letter to the Corinthian Christians arrived in the congregation and somebody stood up to read it, because that's what they did. Not many people could actually read in those days. They depended on someone getting up and reading it out to everyone. So I imagine there were people in the congregation going, "Leaven? Unleavened? Lump? Bread? Passover? What?" And they would have asked their friends, and there would have been people in the congregation who came from a Jewish background, and of course every year this was a festival that they celebrated and they knew all about it and they could explain what was going on. So maybe if we can get a better idea of what the Apostle Paul wanted his friends in Corinth to understand when he said Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, if we look at Exodus chapter 12. But let's just first of all kind of get our bearings a bit. Where are we in the Bible? I think I've used this illustration before. The Bible's like, even if you've got it bound into one book, it's really like a library of books. 66 books. There's 39 books that lead up to Jesus, called the Old Testament, and 27 books talking about Jesus' time onwards. And there's the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians. There's 21 books of letters to Christians. And there's the book of Exodus. Ken and I visited, well, actually, we visited friends in Africa that we'd been working amongst, and to get there we had to go through Athens. And it was interesting, when you looked at the bus, there were two signs above the bus doors. There was Isidos and Exodus, you know, entry and exit. So Exodus just means exit, the way out. And this book of Exodus tells about when God's people found the way out of slavery. So that's where we are in the Bible. And I've often used this timeline to remind us of where we are. The events we're talking about are in time. Here we are now, right back at the beginning of time. Jesus created the universe. At this point in history, Jesus was born as a human. He lived a human life. He died. He came alive and ascended back into heaven. And between now and a time in the future, we're waiting until Jesus returns, and he's going to judge the world, take his people to be with him. So that's the timeline we're on. And in the Bible, we've got people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the man Moses, the leader of God's people in their way out of slavery. So that's where the events were that we'll be talking about tonight, and that's about where the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians. So he's looking back to this time. Where are we in place? God's people in Old Testament times, they started off around here, and God drew Abraham and his family down to this land that he promised them. Later on, they went down into Egypt. Things were okay for a while, but then they became slaves in Egypt. And what we're going to read about tonight is when God was preparing to rescue them and lead them out, give them a way out of Egypt. So we come to Exodus 12. And I'll remind you again, when you see the Lord in big capitals like that, it's the personal name of God. Probably in the ear of the Hebrew people, it was something like Yahweh. It's often been translated as Jehovah, but that's the actual personal name that God uses to speak of himself. So the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, his brother, in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without a blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. That was the instructions that God himself, the covenant God of his people, gave to the people who were slaves in Egypt. He said, I'm going to remake your calendar. This is the month when you're going to escape out of Egypt. You're going to escape from being slaves. I'm going to lead you out. I'm giving you a leader, Moses, and his brother Aaron. So from here on, you've got a brand new calendar. And this is the first month. And I want you to do special things on special dates in the month. On the 10th of the month, look out for a young goat or a young sheep. An unblemished one, not one that was born with three legs so nobody wants it, or one that was born really sick, or one that doesn't look like a decent animal at all. I want you to look out and make sure that there's enough to go around for a meal in the household that you're living in, or if there are just a couple of you in your house, maybe you and your neighbour can get together and organise to share a meal. And then on the 14th day of the month at twilight, everyone who has set aside a lamb will kill that lamb. And there are special things you need to do. You need to drain the blood from that lamb and then put the blood on the doorposts of the front door of your house and across the lintel. So surrounding the door, blood of the lamb. And then roast the meat and eat it, share it together. And importantly, along with that, as part of the meal, the bread I want you to eat mustn't have any yeast in it. The whole focus was that God was going to rescue them promptly, swiftly, quickly. They were going to be there one night as slaves in Egypt, and then the next they'd be gone. And so they didn't have time to get some yeast and mix it into the dough of their bread and knead it and knead it and knead it and then put it aside and let the yeast have its work and swell the bread up and then put it in the oven and cook it. Said, no time for that. Just mix flour and water without yeast, bake it and eat it like that. And eat it with bitter herbs, because that was a reminder to them of the bitterness of the slavery that they were in. With your belt on, with your sandals on, ready to go when God's rescue comes. And what was the point of all of this? The point was that judgment was coming. God said that he was going to pour out his anger on the land of Egypt. They'd kept his people as slaves. They'd been worshipping false gods, and so the very night that the lamb was sacrificed at twilight, God was going to come, and the firstborn of the human families and of the animals were going to be killed as God's judgment. And his promise was that wherever he saw the blood of this lamb on the door, the two doorposts and on the lintel, instead of coming to strike death into that house, he would pass over that house. And life would remain in that house. And death would come to those whose doors were not marked, those who were not putting into practice the promise that God, or the gift that God had given. That was what was going on in that very first Passover. It was a reminder that God, instead of bringing death, would pass over, and life would remain, and death would go elsewhere. Remember that Paul said to the Corinthian Christians, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It's a reminder in Exodus that the lamb was the Lord's Passover, Jehovah's Passover. The lamb was the Lord's gift to his people. The lamb was the Lord's way of escape for his people from the judgment that he was going to bring on Egypt. And because he gave that to them as a gift, the Apostle Paul could say to Christians, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We might be living in a Greek city. We might not be, many of us, Jews, he was saying to the Corinthian Christians, but Christ, Jesus Christ, is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us. So I'd like us to basically see that there are three things that Passover tells us about Jesus. He is the sacrifice that God provided to pay the punishment that sinners deserved. Death came to every single household in Egypt that night. In some households, it was the judgment of God upon the firstborn. In other households, death came upon the Passover lamb that had been set aside. Death came on every single household. God's judgment will come in the case of each one of us, but for some of us, we will be able to point to the Passover lamb that God has provided for us. That's Jesus Christ himself. And we'll say, God's Lord, your judgment has already fallen on my Saviour. Christ, my Passover, was sacrificed for me. And the judgment of God will pass over us. As I said, death came to every household in Egypt that night, but it was only those who were trusting in what Jehovah had provided who escaped the judgment of God and the punishment of God. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. God to the rescue. And it's only those who truly trust in what Jesus has done who will escape God's punishment. But if we come back to the point that Paul was making when he wrote his letter to the Corinthian Christians, what he was wanting to get through to them was that if we do truly trust in Jesus, we've got to be like the people at that first Exodus. We've got to make sure that there isn't something going on in our lives that will act like yeast acts in bread. You can't really see the yeast, but you see the effects. It gets in there and it produces bubbles of gas that swell up the dough. And he was saying, really, sin is like that. And if we're truly trusting in Jesus, we have got a responsibility to get rid of sin out of our lives. If we leave it, it'll just keep working, like yeast keeps working, and the effects will be shown. But he says we should get rid of that leaven or yeast. We should get rid of sin that wants to hang around and keep working in our lives. And the reason is that Jesus Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. If the people in the Old Testament times, in Moses' day, wanted to participate in God's rescue plan, they had to have the Passover lamb and eat of it. They had to get rid of the yeast out of their bread and pursue the rescue. If we're the same, if we want to participate in God's rescue plan, we have to trust in Jesus and get rid of sin out of our lives, not let it keep working away. Just as God in Moses' day gave a lamb and he was the Lord's Passover, so in these New Testament times we can say that Jesus Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us if we trust in him.